from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Top of the morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast, Thursday, March 14th, 2023. It's an exciting weekend for those of Irish heritage as St. Patrick's Day approaches this weekend. And what better way than that to celebrate green beer, green eggs, and green everything. For all of those that will be celebrating this Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you all for tuning in. We've got a packed show. This has been a really, really busy week. Being on the road, it's been extremely busy, but then just the news continue to really kind of add to the responsibility that falls on the shoulders of many, many security practitioners. So with that being said, please make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast listening platform, whether it be Apple, Spotify, Google, or anywhere else to get your podcast. Follow us on social media for exclusive content. And our most exclusive content is available at our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com, or you can look up CISO Talk by James Azar or the Cyber Hub Podcast on Substack, where you'll get all the latest, including a written summary with action items of our daily stories that's available for free on our Substack by going to jamesazar.substack.com and subscribing there as well. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started on this morning's show. Unfortunately, again, traditional coffee cup cheers in trying to prepare for the show and the line that's just at the coffee shop downstairs that actually has pretty decent espresso. I'm not going to lie to you, for a hotel and a non-Starbucks, they've got great, great coffee. I was unable to get one done in time. So with that being said, let's go ahead. Coffee cup cheers for all y'all joining me this morning. And let's kick into our first story of the day, the exploitation of a high severity Kubernetes vulnerability that could lead to arbitrary code execution with system privilege and all Windows endpoints in a cluster, according to Akamai. The issue has a CVE 2023-5528, and it impacts default Kubernetes installations. It exists in the way the open source container orchestration system processes YAML files, which it uses for virtually every single function. Now, in some regards, the vulnerability is similar to a previous vulnerability that we saw in the subpath parameter in YAML files leading to code injection. That was CVE 2023-3676. However, that was identified in the Kubernetes kubelet services processing of the files. This one occurs when creating a pod that includes a local volume, which allows for the mounting of disk partitions. One of the functions that kubelet services reaches when creating such a pod creates a symlink between the location of the volume on the node and the location inside the pod. Because the function contains a CMD call, Windows command prompt supports command concatenation, and an attacker can control one parameter in the CMD execution and inject arbitrary commands to be executed with the privilege of a kubelet. So the issue only occurs when specifying or creating persistence volume, which is a type of storage resource that many admins can create to provision storage space within the specific pod. This is where the injection can be placed, and this is where the vulnerability does exist. All deployments of Kubernetes version 1.28.3 and prior that have Windows nodes in the cluster are vulnerable to this CVE. The recommended is to be at 1.28.4 for the upgrade, according to the team at Akamai. Fortinet continues to patch critical issues within their environment. This one, a critical vulnerability in the FortiClient Enterprise Management Server, their EMS software, that would allow an attacker to gain remote code execution on vulnerable servers. The FortiClient EMS enables admins to manage endpoints connected to enterprise network, allowing them to deploy FortiClient software and assign security profiles on Windows device. The security flaw CVE 2023-48788 is an SQL injection in the DB2 administration server component, which was discovered and reported by the UK National Cybersecurity Center and Fortinet developer Diego Santana. It impacts Fortinet clients EMS versions 7.0, that's 7.0.1 through 7.0.10, and 7.2 versions 7.2.0 through 7.2.2. It would allow an unauthenticated attacker to gain remote code execution with system privileges on unpatched servers in a very low complexity style of attack that does not require user interaction. There's several exploits that have been confirmed, and the ease of exploiting this specific CVE is significant. It's recommended by Fortinet and many other security professionals to patch this specific threat immediately when you can. There's a new wave of attacks by the Darkgate malware operation exploit and now fixed Windows Defender smart scan vulnerability. That's CVE-2024-21412, which is a Windows Defender smart screen flaw that would allow specially crafted downloadable downloaded files to bypass these security warnings. Attackers can exploit the flaw, creating a Windows Internet shortcut that points to another URL file on a remote SMB share, which would cause the file at the final location to be executed automatically. This was fixed as part of a mid-February patch, Trend Micro disclosing that the financially motivated Water Hydra group is previously behind exploiting it as a zero-day to drop the Dark Me malware onto trader systems. Today, analysts reported that the Dark Gate operators are exploiting the same flaw to improve their chances of success on targeted systems. So if you haven't patched that specific CVE yet in your Windows systems, you want to make sure to get it done. Active exploits are out there. They are dropping malware. There's a whole slew of how the TTPs and IOCs of these specific Dark Gate operators have been operating since at least mid-January. That's all available in our show notes. That's all available on our Substack. You can see it there if you're listening after the fact. And if you're watching, obviously see it on your screen. Trend Micro says this campaign employs version 6.1.7 of Dark Gate, which compares to older versions that features an XOR encrypted config, new config options, and updated on the command and control values. This is sophisticated and something worthwhile. You want to make sure you get this addressed ASAP. Nissan Oceana is notifying roughly 100,000 individuals of a data breach resulting from a ransomware attack conducted by a known cybercrime group in late 2023. The car makers detected the intrusion on December 5th, informed customers about a disruptive cyber incident that very day. The attack impacted Nissan Motor Corporation and Nissan Financial Services in Australia and New Zealand. The Akira ransomware group took credit for the attack, claiming to have stolen nearly 100 gigabytes of information from the company, including corporate files and personnel information. The hackers also since published files allegedly stolen from the Nissan system, which suggests the car manufacturer has refused to give in to ransom demands. Following an investigation conducted with the aid of government authorities and external experts, the company has determined that the data breach impacts some Nissan customers, dealers, and current and former employees. The customers of Mitsubishi, Renault, Skyline, Infiniti, LDV, and Ram-branded finance businesses were also impacted by this specific data breach. The type of information involved would be different for each person, but they estimate that about 10% of the individuals had some form of government identification compromise. The data set includes approximately 4,000 Medicare cards, 7,500 driver's license, 220 passports, and 1,300 tax file numbers. So that's going on for our friends across the ocean in Australia and New Zealand. Chipmaker Intel and AMD published 10 security advisories on as part of their patch Tuesday, informing customers about vulnerabilities impacting their products. Intel published 8 new advisories, including 2 that describe high-severity vulnerabilities. One of the high-severity issues is a local privilege escalation impacting the BIOS firmware for some Intel processors. The second is a local privilege escalation that impacts the on-chip debug and test interface in the fourth-generation Intel Xeon processors when using SGX or TDX technology. The remaining 9 issues have medium or low severity ratings. Most of them impact processors, and their exploitation could lead to information disclosure, denial of service, and local privilege escalation. On the other hand, AMD published 2 advisories, one in response to a newly disclosed microarchitectural vulnerability named Ghost Race, which we talked about on the show yesterday. Intel did not mention Ghost Race in their latest advisory, despite financially supporting the project. The second advisory covers a web GPU browser-based GPU cache side-channel attack method, which details will likely be made public soon by a team of academic researchers. AMD doesn't believe that there's any sort of exploits there. Change Healthcare is now being investigated by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for civil rights in order to identify how that data breach happened and were they using protected, how health information was compromised, and what they were doing from a security perspective. Change Healthcare reportedly paid $22 million in ransom to the attackers. That was the Black Cat Alpha V group that pulled an exit scam, refusing to share the proceeds with any affiliates that perpetrated the attack and stole the data. HHS now says that the cyber attack is disrupting healthcare and billing information operations nationwide. It poses a direct threat to critically needed patient care and essential operations of the healthcare industry. The likely thing here is they're not looking at as much on the cyber hygiene of Change Healthcare here, but rather on the monopoly they had on the industry and what that means. And then they're probably trying to take some lessons learned and then try to enforce those lessons through a settlement with Change Healthcare after the fact, in order to ensure that if this ever happened again, it wouldn't have the impact it had this specific attack. TikTok once again finds itself in a position where lawmakers in Washington have now passed a bill to ban the platform in the United States if within 6 months of the bill being signed into law, the ByteDance doesn't sell its stake in the U.S. side of TikTok. So the legislation essentially gives ByteDance a two-option scenario: either sell it or face a ban where we will take you out of the app store. So TikTok previously was out for sale during President Trump, who tried to do something extremely similar. And Oracle had at the time led as the most likely candidate to take over TikTok. We'll see what happens here. Obviously, there's the Chinese and the Chinese Communist Party are you know, kind of looking at this and going, well, you know, we'll see how that adds up. This was a deal that was blocked by the courts after TikTok sued, saying that the executive order couldn't force them to sell that. Now this is going through legislation, and we'll see how this works. This is obviously all happening on an election year, so there's that as well. People in Russia tomorrow will head to the polls to vote, and Russia's claiming that U.S. and Western countries are trying to hack its presidential election. This is the first time that Russia is allowing a three-day, essentially, election cycle. It'll be Russia's first ever three-day-long presidential election, and the first instance when residents from certain regions, including Moscow, can cast votes online. Last week, a Russian state official from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs announced that the attackers from Western countries are plotting and already orchestrating cyber attacks on Russian election infrastructure. The head of the Russian Election Commission, Ella Pamifilova, also stated last week that the Russian enemies are attempting to meddle in the presidential election to such an extent as never before. So we'll see. Typically, these end up being 97% of people voted for Putin. So we'll see what happens with the election in Russia as we come together on Monday. Until then, that's the end of our show today. We'll have a great, great weekend for all of y'all celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy the time with your loved ones. For everyone else, we'll be back live 9 a.m. Eastern with all the latest and greatest. Until then, have a great rest of your day. And most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.